Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Joe O Show.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
World is this. You're listening to the Joe Ostrowski Show, nights on 670 The Score.
A three-hour version this evening, taking it up to Julie DeCaro at 10 o'clock. My name is Joe Ostrowski. Last show of the week, as far as this goes, next three nights I'll be on the Radio.com app doing You Better You Bet. Of course, a lot of sports betting conversation over there, getting you set for all the conference title games of college football and the NFL. I already have a bunch of Bears prop bets in mind, and we will get to Bears-Cowboys this evening as well. It's nice to have some relevant football, a little more relevant, very little, very, very little. People are just going out of their minds over a team that hasn't beaten anybody good this season, and I'm not saying the Dallas Cowboys are a good team, but for the first time, they're going to have to beat a pretty good quarterback and then beat one that's better and then take on another quarterback who's even better. So, but hey, you can't complain about relevant football in December because earlier on this season, it did not look like that was the case. Joe Ostrowski here, other side of the glass. EP tonight, Sean Anderson running the board, Brandon Olofsky, and I didn't expect to be here a couple days before Thursday night football, Bears-Cowboys, especially based off the last couple MLB off-seasons. And as all these reports are filing in, maybe I'm setting myself for a big disappointment. The momentum is there. The Sox already made a pretty damn big move. I am excited for Hot Stove again. I hope baseball doesn't mess it up, but I can't believe that I'm here. And I know some of you guys are also here. First off, and I'm going to hit on both teams here. There is so much going on. Or at least we think there is, right? We hope there is. But since it's already started off, you know, with that Grandal signing, I have reason to believe that we'll get plenty of moves next week at the winter meetings. But it's back, man. First, the Jeff Passan report this morning. A few things surprised me. I think there are a few different leads and a couple different blurbs that he wrote about the Cubs. The entire article was about players who will or should be in MLB offseason trade talks. He says the candidates on the Cubs to be traded: Wilson Contreras, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Kyle Schwarber, Albert Almora. Does not say Javier Baez. Of course, there are reports out there that they're going to start talking contracts. Does not mention Javi at all. Here's what Passan wrote, and we'll get into it right after. The Chicago Cubs have been, according to various executives, aggressive, manic, motivated, and obvious in their desire to trade someone or someones. The Cubs are going to make a move. They're just not sure what yet. Contreras is the name bandied about the most, partially because at $5 million or so, as a first-time arbitration-eligible player, he's cheap and comes with three full years of control. Bryant, who turns 28 in January, is only 4 months older than Contreras, but could cost quadruple the amount as a third-time eligible player. Because Bryant is so costly, and because there's a risk, albeit slight, that an arbiter could rule in his favor that the Cubs manipulated his service time and award him an extra day of service, giving him free agency after this season, teams are hesitant on him. And that complicates matters because a former MVP going on the trade market for a team with aspirations to win in 2020 is as weird as it sounds. It's simply the calculus these days in which the balance between now and next is even harder to strike. It's why Rizzo's name comes up in discussions. He seems untradeable. The likelihood of the Cubs moving him certainly is lower than the others, but even he could move in this climate. The Cubs know they need to be creative. They also know the first move they make is perhaps the most important and will set the tone for their winter. Wow. We're not talking about trading Schwarber. That's one thing. And he put Schwarber's name in there. Okay, fine. Elmora, fine. You want our garbage? Go ahead, take our garbage. Not going to get anything for Elmora. When we talk about breaking up the core four, we kind of throw Rizzo's name to the side. Say, yeah, but he's not going anywhere. He's a leader of the clubhouse. His buddy David Ross is the manager now. He's not going anywhere. Especially what happened at the end of the season when he forced himself onto the field and he helped the team. Or is it? Is he tradable? Is there a more consistent Cub than Anthony Rizzo? He doesn't have the same value that some of those other names hold, I don't think, with Contreras and 3 years of control. But he is cheap with those club options over the next couple of years. You'll get more for Bryant. If they have any conversations, you'd get more for Baez. But is there a Cub more consistent than Anthony Rizzo? Homers, average, I mean, just go down the line. If you go back of the baseball card, that's the old saying. Look at it. He's as consistent as anyone. You know exactly what you're going to get from that guy. That was a lead. That was a little surprising. But the big one here, executives are telling Passan the Cubs are aggressive, manic, motivated to get some sort of a deal, and it may not stop at one player. It could be multiple guys. Wow. I think this offseason is much different than a year ago, and Passan mentioned the tone. Well, Theo set the tone at the 80-plus minute press conference at the end of the season. Said a lot of the same things a year ago, but there is going to be activity with the Cubs. They're going to move some guys. They need to change things up. That lineup is way too repetitive, and the only way they can change things up isn't letting guys walk out the door that are at the end of contracts like Zobrist or some older guys like Cole Hamels. We'll get to him in a minute. You've got to trade some of these players. They've been complaining about the same stuff. Joe Maddon was complaining about the same stuff. I know that he's gone, but Theo and Jed on this station many, many times. It's the same thing again and again. The only difference is this past season they didn't make the playoffs in any form. So what are you going to do? Let's pretend this is fantasy football for a moment. The Cubs keep saying that nobody is untradeable. Passan doesn't mention Baez there. And maybe that's because extension talks are happening or about to go down. Maybe. But if you're, say, in a keeper league in fantasy football, some sort of a dynasty league, you can hold certain players. And even though Theo Epstein may say into a microphone in front of a bunch of reporters and for fans that nobody is untradeable, is that really the case? Is it really? Are they really having conversations about Javi Baez? A guy that is so valuable. When you go to games, which player gets the loudest ovation? It's Javier Baez. There's Baez gear everywhere. Fans love him. Probably more than any other player on the roster. It's pretty close with a couple of guys, like Rizzo. A lot of Bryant fans, but also a lot of people that don't like Bryant, which I'll never understand. But if we're playing fantasy football, fantasy baseball, and you're protecting a Cub, which guy are you protecting? Manic, motivated, obvious. Fascinating. Just fascinating. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Joe Ostrowski with you on the Score. Phone lines are open. You're protecting a Cub. Which one is it?
In my mind, it's got to be Bryant.
Well, Sean, I'll tell you this. It doesn't have to be anybody, too. You are... That's funny. I was talking to Bruce Levine last night, and he came on a little bit after the Addison Russell news came down, and we landed on the same player. When you just start going through the process of elimination, the players that will actually get you a large return, get you some young, controllable pitching, probably going to extend Baez. At least that is their hope. Rizzo's a first baseman. He's consistent. He's good. I don't know what he's going to get in a trade back. I think there's a chance that they could extend Contreras. I wonder what the manager thinks about what David Ross thinks of Contreras. If you look at the coaching staff, they brought in so many former catchers. So I wonder, I mean, that happens in baseball. You see a lot of former catchers that are managers. But I wonder what their thought, the true opinion about Wilson Contreras is. But I think they're going to try to extend him too. But with the Boris representation, I just got to trade somebody. That's what they're saying. And I actually agree with them. I just don't think it's going to, I think Brian's going to be the guy. Just when you start eliminating some of the other names or how the extension talks are going or not going, it feels like Bryant's the guy. Let's go to this morning. John Heyman on the Mully and Haw show. And David Haw actually brought this up, something we've been talking about for months and months and months with John Heyman of MLB Network. Just, are you going to be able to continue to move on with Baez and Bryant as a part of this organization long term?
Do you get the sense that as they discuss a long-term contract with Javi, that it's either Javi or Chris Bryant? And is there any possibility, do you think, of a long-term agreement with both?
Yeah, I think Chris Bryant is going to be tough. They offered him $200 million, and I don't have all the details or the years, so it's hard to evaluate it. It was probably a couple years ago now, and my understanding is that offer wasn't countered, so I think Bryant is probably in the Mookie Betts category where he has decided that he'd like to be a free agent. Nothing against Chicago, in Betts' case, nothing against Boston, but players like their freedom, and you know, who knows why he would like to consider other places. So I think a Bryant extension is unlikely. Someone has to resolve, and actually it's the arbitrator, has to resolve the dispute whether he has 2 years to go or 1 year to go before free agency. The likelihood is that he will have 2 years to go, but there is a grievance, and Bryant has asked that they be a free agent. As we know, the grievance was over the alleged manipulation of his service time back in 2015, so we'll see how that goes. Javier Baez, I think there's a much greater chance of that. I think Gordon Whitmire from the Sun-Times mentioned that early as well. And they will sit down and try to figure something out. Obviously, a terrific all-around player. And, he's really emerged as a star. And that would be terrific for both sides if they could get that one done.
That would be tough. It would be tough. And I agree 100%. When you just start using the process of elimination, we're not talking about which guy is the best player. It's... Well, if the Cubs are truly resetting the organization, and it feels like that's what they're doing this offseason. Last year, they did not want to spend, and this year, maybe they're taking a bit of a step back. Maybe they're not going to go for it, right? In their still in their window. Maybe take a half step back to make sure that they don't have to go in the tank at some point. It certainly feels like that's going to be the case. It would be tough. Bryant has every right to go into free agency to see what else is out there, which other teams are interested in a couple of years. We think in a couple of years. I certainly think so. We'll see how this grievance shakes out. But I don't think he's going to be a free agent in 1 year. It's going to be in 2 years. So, of course, some of the other teams out there, they're not making a trade for Chris Bryant until they know exactly how long they would have Bryant before he's in free agency. He has every right for that. He earned that. But it doesn't mean he has to be a Cub when he becomes a free agent. Cubs are trying to figure things out here. They've spent some bad money. They've made some bad decisions over the last couple of years. Leading up to the championship, it didn't seem like they made any bad moves. But ever since then, they put themselves in a tough spot here. Now they don't have as much money to spend in free agency as they did before. They've had a lot of problems drafting and developing pitching, so now they have to take some of their position players to add the pitching. And by the way, that's why you saw a lot of the front office kind of reshuffled this past offseason. Because they weren't getting it done on the pitching side. Even in the bullpen, they have to chase bullpen arms because they can't bring them up in their own system. And also, players a few years ago who we thought were going to be really, really good for a long time, now you're not so sure. Albert Elmore, not who we thought he was. Ian Happ so far, not who we thought he was. So if you're the Cubs, we're, say, playing fantasy football. You're protecting one of these guys. According to reports, they're talking about everybody. But if you're protecting one, which one are you protecting? Like I said, last night I was having the conversation with Bruce Levine. Both of us think Bryant's the guy. Bryant's the guy they're going to move at some point. And if they're not in it this season at the trade deadline, maybe they'll be sellers. I felt like they were close last season, but they didn't quite get there. They didn't want to sell, but that could be a real thing coming up in 2020. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Then we go to the other side of town. Cole Hamels was on the White Sox Talk podcast and talked about his interest in going to the South Side. So that was a thing. So there's that going on about the connections with Hamels. He had mentioned that the White Sox reached out to him. We'll bring you some of that audio. But Bob Nightingale, he's always linked to the White Sox. Ken Williams, always linked to the White Sox. Always has some Sox information for you. Then today, Bob Nightingale, USA Today, says the White Sox, believing they can make a playoff push in 2020, are willing to pay a huge price for free agent starter Zach Wheeler and have engaged in preliminary trade talks with the LA Dodgers for power-hitting outfielder Jock Peterson, according to two people with direct knowledge of the talks. So again, Zach Wheeler's coming up, and again, Jock Peterson is coming up. That was going on a year ago. And now we're back. New York Post, Joel Sherman here. This came out about an hour ago. He's as plugged in as anyone in baseball, especially involving the New York teams. He posts this. Zach Wheeler's rise will be rewarded shortly and handsomely. Two industry sources told the Post that Wheeler, who displayed his considerable upside by posting strong 2018 and 2019 seasons with the Mets after overcoming multiple injuries, would likely decide on his future no later than the end of next week's winter meetings. A 29-year-old right-hander even could determine the next employer in the next few days, one of those sources said. He also writes, Wheeler appears likely to get a 5-year deal after missing all of 2015 and 2016 due to Tommy John surgery on his right elbow and throwing just 86-plus innings in 2017. The White Sox are mentioned there. It's White Sox, Reds, Twins, Rangers. It sounds like Wheeler could get a $100 million contract from one of those four teams, and it could be happening very soon. So we're hearing about Zach Wheeler. We're hearing about Cole Hamels. And the reaction that I saw from a lot of Sox fans was, and maybe I'm off base here, but I'm hearing Sox fans say, well, those aren't the best arms. Those aren't the best starters. Why aren't we talking about Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg? You're right. You're absolutely right. But you also have to be realistic. Coming off what they just went through with Manny Machado, and they were left, and I'm not going to sit here and spin it to you that it was a great thing for the White Sox that actually missed out on Machado. That's what the White Sox want you to believe. And hey, You should go after the best. And they haven't spent a dime over the last few years. So go ahead and spend that money. I'm not worried about the White Sox money because they have been saving up for years. And the promise they made to you is that they were going to spend the money. But I got to say, if I'm looking from the Sox fan point, viewpoint, right? And I walk away after a major disappointment last year, the young core that they have, now we'll find out if it's truly a core moving forward. But I believe in what they're doing. I think there's a lot of upside with the White Sox. They should be a division contender this season. But if we're talking about Yasmani Grandal, already done, you get multiple starters, let's say Zach Wheeler long-term and Cole Hamels short-term. How is that a bad offseason? With Kopech coming back, maybe you get Rodon at some point and Cease, and what Giolito did last season, is the starting rotation a concern anymore? Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I think something that Danny Mac brought up earlier was the fact that, you know, you're going to have Hamels and Rodon who are both dealing with injuries right now. And we're going to get to the Hamels audio in a bit.
Yeah.
But at least what we've heard from Hamels is the first half went fine. And then you're going to get Rodon maybe June, July. And, you know, if Hamels ends up breaking down at that point, you do have a starting rotation, a fifth starter in Carlos Rodon coming back. I don't see the issue in bringing a guy like Hamels.
If Rodon's a five, how good is that rotation?
Exactly. I mean, the biggest question mark, you know, outside of injuries is just Reynaldo Lopez's, growth and development.
I think that's your five.
Yeah. But Rodon, I mean, he's just such a toss-up, and Hamels is such a toss-up just with their injuries.
Right.
Where Reynaldo is at least going to go 150 innings.
Yeah. I don't believe in him as much, but if we're talking about just slotting him in at the end of the rotation, I don't have a problem with that at all.
If your fifth guy can go out and give you, you know, a 15 strikeout outing like he has before, I don't think it's the worst thing.
From time to time, yeah, absolutely. Phone lines are open. We're talking Cubs and White Sox. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. On the Cubs front, reports out there. Jeff Passan, he gets a lot of stuff right. They are manic. They are trying to make a move. They just don't know which player or players that they're going to move. If you're protecting a Cub that isn't going anywhere, which one is it? 312-644-6767. Text 67011. And on the White Sox side, offseason of Yasmani Grandal, Zach Wheeler, and Cole Hamels, are you good with that? This was the offseason you were waiting on. You thought it was last year. Didn't pan out. But if you add those three guys, which you already have, I think that's pretty damn good for the Southsiders. You know, it's always a tougher pitch when you're the White Sox. You're not the Cubs. And you're asking players to believe in what you've built. You don't see that a lot. You don't see some pretty good free agents go to teams that might be pretty good in a couple of years. They do have to overspend. That was nuts, too, when people are criticizing the Grandal contract. Well, they gave him a year too much. You're the White Sox. You have to give a year too much. You have to spend a little bit more money. You've got the Joe O Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Northwestern Basketball hosts number 3 Michigan State at the new Welsh Ryan Arena on December 18th. Tip-off set for 7 p.m. Tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. Joe Ostrowski with you on 670 The Score. Talking some hot stove baseball. Excited for both sides of town. We'll get to the Cole Hamels interview in just a minute on the White Sox Talk podcast. Had a few really interesting things. Biggest takeaway for me when I was listening today, and nice job, Chuck Garfine, getting the interview, and then also did a really nice job with it, is he spent a few minutes explaining his injury for everybody out there saying, well, he's done. Look at his age. Nah, what I say is, look at the numbers before the injury. Get to that in just a minute. 773 texter, Javi is the only guy I would not trade. Okay. Yeah, maybe the Cubs feel the exact same way, but they're just not going to say it publicly. 847, so why do you think people who watch the Cubs give Bryant such a tough time? My guess is it was so much so fast. Rookie of the year, MVP. So now what's next? There's been the idea that he struggles with runners in scoring position. Hasn't been the case for his entire career. Not as flashy as Javier Baez. Just not a fan favorite like Rizzo. He's quiet. He does his job. And he's a spectacular player. Those would be my guesses. 815, as talented as Baez is and as high as the ceiling is, I don't think you trade him. Okay. 312-644-6767. Bets for Bryant. I mean, that's nuts. What's going on in Boston? That they might actually move on from Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is so much better than Chris Bryant right now. And actually, based off this season that Bryant just had, he's no longer in that top tier of third baseman. Great player. Well, that's really a testament to the number of terrific third basemen that are out there right now. But as far as Cole Hamels, what I don't get is, and I'm seeing it a little bit, I'm hearing from some people, no, I'm not interested in Cole Hamels. No, why? Why? He doesn't really fit. What are you talking about? So there's this mentality that just because you're in a rebuild or you think it's your first year to truly win, take maybe a couple of steps. Teams have done that in the past. Huge jump in wins. That everybody on the roster needs to be in their mid-20s. I don't know. That's just not reality. And it's not the case. Their entire rotation is a bunch of guys in their 20s. They don't have a left-handed arm available. Rodon, maybe at some point, Hamels could be that guy. When the Cubs won the World Series, Lackey was in the rotation. He was 37. Lester was 32. And having a veteran arm who's been there, who's won big games, I think can only help. As far as the competition goes, it's just helping younger guys along, helping them start to figure it out for themselves. I know part of that is the pitching coach, Don Cooper, who has a job for life, by the way. But sometimes it's more impactful when you hear it from a peer. When you look at the numbers, he had a month-long stretch last year from June 2nd to August 3rd seven starts. Hamels had a 107 ERA, batting average against only 208. He still has it. And I remember having many conversations on this station pre-injury about how he was the best starter in the rotation right now. You're in the playoffs, you're starting right now, he'd be my one. It was a long stretch of time last season. But let's go to this interview, because I thought this was the most important part. When Hamels was explaining what was happening with his shoulder at the end of the season, courtesy of the White Sox Talk podcast.
Yeah, I felt good last year. I think that was the tough part. In the spring training, I was feeling really good. Getting into the season, I felt great. I felt like I was more confident and spot on with my pitches. I eliminated the slider that I was trying to learn for the past two seasons. It just wasn't working, so I went right back to more of the hard cutter. Really eliminated the two-seamer and didn't really throw it as much. So I was trying to get back to more four-seam, fastball, changeup, and my curve. And obviously the cutter, and I just felt a lot better with it. I was able to locate a lot, but I know when I did tear my oblique, I felt like I kind of slipped with my front leg, and I was reaching as I was throwing, and so that's kind of what really I think hurt and strained my oblique was that it was just I slip and I was pulling, throwing a pitch away to a lefty, so it just was a recipe for disaster. And then trying to come back, I knew that I needed to be back there because I was doing so well. And so after healing up and not throwing a ball for almost 18 days, I rushed back into my throwing program, and I was just never able to get my shoulder the right strength. And I felt like, you know what, it'll slowly go. It's more like a spring training, but I was, you know, when you're in games that count, you're going to grind away and put a little bit more effort on it when you probably can't sustain it. My shoulder was just getting more tired and more tired. My front side I was leaking because I was trying to generate the velocity, so I wasn't really throwing off my front side as much. And I think then the oblique, was always in the back of my mind because I didn't want to have to re-aggravate it, because if I did, I knew I was going to be out for the season. So there was just a lot that was really not going well. And then, you know, I kind of got to that part in the end of September where I couldn't lift and throw the ball. My shoulder was just so fatigued. So I was able to take a week off, and everything felt amazing. And then I was able to pitch the last game, but unfortunately we were already out of it. Sometimes I think people look at it, well, that looks bad, but I just was like, no, I finally now feel good. Unfortunately, the season's over. So that was just a tough situation because I never caught up, and I thought I could. Maybe that's what happens as you get older. But I know if I probably would have put in the right amount of time in building up, I would have been more effective. But unfortunately, I think it's just the nature of who we are. We just want to be out there and compete as fast as we possibly can. And I rushed back, and it didn't benefit anybody. And that's kind of the tough part, because I loved being able to pitch for my teammates and for the Cubs in that city. And I feel like I really let them down in that situation. And I felt like if I could have been at my best, we probably would have made the postseason. So it's, you know, something it doesn't sit well with me. And that's kind of why in the offseason, I'm trying to make sure that doesn't happen. I can prove myself again. If it's not for the Cubs, it's going to be for somebody else. It's going to, you know, for their benefit.
Cole Hamels with Chuck Garfine on the White Sox Talk podcast. As much information as I heard about his injury. Maybe that makes you feel a little bit better, but he clearly showed this past season that he still has it. And we see starters going into their late 30s. They're still bringing it, man. I don't know if you're a Sox fan, I don't know why you wouldn't want that guy on your rotation. I have no idea. All right, Sean Anderson, other side of the glass. The phenom, they call him. Let's go through this. Let's say you add Wheeler and Hamels. You have Kopech, Giolito, Cease, Lopez. Is a six maybe? Okay, let's say you're able to get Wheeler and Hamels. Wheeler would be a long-term deal, probably a 4 or 5 year deal. And then Hamels, he said he wants to pitch a few more years, but maybe he'd settle for 2 years and larger money. And they've got the money. Who is your one?
with what I saw last year, I think you have to make Giolito. I mean, that guy was incredible for such a long stretch. He did struggle twice against the Cubs, but outside of that, he looked like an ace.
And if he's ready on opening day, and we expect that he will be, Kopech, there's no reason to put that pressure on him.
No, not
that
at all.
Added pressure.
I would think Wheeler.
And then it might rain, and
Kopech.
Then he'll go inside, and then they'll bring him back out, and yeah, it'll be a mess. I think it has to be Giolito. I agree.
There was that Minnesota Twins start August 21st. I mean, I remember it because it was my birthday. We were at Aurelio's. Jeff Samardzija was interviewing on Mac and Parkins, and he was just absolutely obliterating the Twins lineup. And that was the best team in your division. He went into their house and dominated them, and I think struck out 13. And it was incredible, complete game.
Giolito earned this opening day start, 100%. Wheeler or Kopech, two.
Wheeler, just because you have Kopech coming off of Tommy John. We haven't seen a ton from him because he's only pitched, what, maybe seven games?
But if he's healthy, he's healthy. He's pitching, you know?
True, but I don't know about him being your second guy because you haven't seen a ton from him, where you've seen two great years now coming off of Tommy John from Zach Wheeler, and you're giving him a long-term deal.
Yes.
He's got ace material as well.
That would be the biggest contract in team history.
Which is fine.
If it is what we expect.
You have the money. So yeah. There should be no reason why you're not going out and spending that money on a guy who could possibly even become an ace. Because if he, you know, jumps Giolito, not really a bad thing as long as Giolito's not regressing.
I mean, just think about this. So now we're talking about Cole Hamels as a four. As a four. And going in, if they were to land both guys. I don't see how that's a complaint. And then we're having the Cease Ronaldo Lopez conversation. What do you do if everyone's healthy? What do you do with Lopez at the start of the year? You don't want to remove Cease from the rotation. How are you disappointed if this goes down?
And worse things worse, too, is if Cease starts to struggle, you have the ability to then slide Lopez into the starting rotation and move him back down to AAA to get a couple more starts.
Happens with young arms all the time. We're not sitting here saying, oh, there's an injury. I guess it's time to see Dylan Covey again. Like, it felt like that was going to happen again and again and again. So we're saying, all right, let's play fantasy baseball. Giolito, Wheeler, Kopech, Hamels, C/ Ronaldo Lopez. What's the problem? There was a celebration for that Tigers start that it was Dylan Cease Day, and now we're having a real conversation that maybe he's your five going into year two, and it's not because he was bad last year.
And he's only 23. No, you're going to be 24. So, yeah. I mean, he's got so much potential. And that's what another thing, too, where you haven't even mentioned Rodon, who by June, July,
right,
could be a seventh arm, and you might be having that guy who has been so dominant when healthy coming
injuries
out of a bullpen.
And you'll have injuries. But it happens every baseball season.
If everyone's healthy, yeah, you have the possibility of Rodon, who has such electric stuff through the first couple innings, that he can be your long reliever and dominate out of the pen.
If you're telling me Grandal, Wheeler, Hamels, I'm telling you that's a home run. Sean, do you agree? Is that a home run, triple, double, what?
I think it's a triple, and I think if you're able to add a right fielder, whether via trade like a Starling Marte, or if it's Nick Castellanos, if you're able to add that.
Oh, my gosh. Nick Castellanos, too?
That's a home run. Well, that's like a home run. That means your expectations are now first place in the Central and 90 wins.
That's fair.
Triple is 85 wins.
It's not Cole. It's not Strasburg. You're saying it can't be a home run. Brandon?
I agree with everything you're saying. I think if you got Strasburg or Garrett Cole, that'd be a grand slam. But
yeah,
it's a little out of the picture.
You have to be realistic here.
I don't know if it is. If you get Cole and Strasburg, like, you're hitting a home run without a doubt because you're getting an ace, top five pitcher in Cole's, range.
Now.
And I think Strasburg's probably top 10.
Yeah.
But with that, I mean, you're still not addressing the fact that you still need another starter. You're not then addressing a right fielder. I think with this Sox team, you need to fill it out and make sure you have that depth because Cease is still a question mark. Lopez is still a question mark. Rodon is still a question mark, and if you don't have the ability to then bring in another starter, another veteran, that's going to make that rotation thin again, and that's what was the downfall for the Sox team throughout all of last year.
And the scenario we're discussing here is, I also think it would be important if you're able to fill out that rotation, and not just fill it out, you've got some quality at the back end, without trading any of your prospects or any of young position players, that's big too. If you can get if you don't have to make trades, now they might have to. They might if they can't get everything they want in free agency. But if you can do that without dealing some of these young players, because I don't know about the depth in the minors right now. Certainly not what it was a couple of years ago, and that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I mean, there's some people that will hang on to Steele Walker's name and Blake Rutherford's name for no apparent reason.
Go ahead.
If you have, you know, Robert out in center, you have Eloy out in left, and you have a Jock Peterson, a Starling Marte, a Nicholas Castellano, whoever it may be, in right field, what is the point of having Rutherford and then or Steele Walker, both outfielders, in the minor league system if you're not then going to just, you know, move them to add to your bullpen to help your starting lineup help your lineup as well if you then need to make additions at second base if Madrigal doesn't work out. You just lost Yomer. There's still an opening at second if Madrigal doesn't pan out right away. So you can use some of this youth still if you're adding through free agent to then make this team better and make them more of a contender, not only in the AL Central, but also just in the AL in general.
312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Not just talking White Sox, also discussing the Cubs. Jeff Passan's report this morning, they're manic. They're trying to get a deal done. They're going to deal someone or someones. Interesting. Derek in Beloit, you're on Sports Radio 670, The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
Hey, Joe, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
If it was me, I would try to keep Chris Bryant. And I only say this because I've been watching him since he was out in Iowa, right? I still feel like he hasn't been himself since that shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. And, like, before he got hurt, I would have said, if you would have looked at Major League Baseball right now and said, does he have the potential or does he look like one of the best third basemen in baseball? I would say yes. Whereas somebody like Baez, I just feel like Bryant's game is built on fundamentals. It's going to be something that lasts with a long-term contract. I could see Baez reverting just because his game is so volatile and built on, you know, physical traits and attributes, not necessarily fundamental. So I could see Baez just going the other way. I just don't see that happening with Bryant, so I hope they keep him.
All right, appreciate the phone call. I just think it's going to be a process of elimination, and Bryant's going to end up being the guy. I can't wait till we start to hear reports about some of the interest and some of the conversations that are going on. And that'll start to happen late at night at the bars when some executives start talking to reporters and the tweets are going out like crazy. Maybe you're staying up a little late to check that out. That's going to be fascinating as well. Isn't it great to have Hot Stove back? Isn't it great? It went away for a couple of years. I think it's back. I think it is. At least I really hope it is. Because there's a chance on Thursday, all hope with the Bears dies for at least this season. You've got Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You've got Joe Ostrowski here, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Judah Carroll's show starts at 10 o'clock. I'm here till then. This grabbed my attention. Any sort of sports betting conversation I like to bring to the table. Maybe you guys missed this. I do a lot of this on You Better You Bet. Weeknights 5 to 9 p.m. on the radio.com app. Podcasts always available. We have some excellent guests. Eli Hershkovich, our executive producer, booked some terrific guests. So even if you're just in on that, you should subscribe to the podcast. So I was on actionnetwork.com and I came across an MLB futures article. I took a gander. Talking about some bets to make, home run leaders, stuff like that. ERA leader. just an early look at it before the numbers are just beat to hell and then you lose all the value. It's from Sean Zarillo at the Action Network. 2020 World Series. As the 2019 MLB season concluded, one team jumped out to me as a possible dark horse World Series contender in 2020. He made a $200 bet on the White Sox to win the World Series at 75-1. Is a little bit of what he wrote. No other rotation in baseball has anywhere near the White Sox combination of youth, upside, and team-friendly contracts. They have four flame-throwing arms on their staff with Lucas Giolito, 94.3, Ronaldo Lopez, 95.5, Dylan Cease, 96.5, and Michael Kopech, 95.7, working under the tutelage of legendary pitching coach Don Cooper. Giolito made a star turn in 2019. Cease and Lopez showed glimpses of their vast potential. Moving to the bottom, he says, I bet the White Sox at 75-1 before they signed Yasmani Grandal. The current World Series odds are as low as 30-1 at Caesars, but as high as 65-1 at a couple of books. At this point in the year, I like them down to 50-1. As a Southsider should continue to be active throughout the offseason while looking to expedite the status of their rebuild. Woo! A little more optimistic than I am about the White Sox. I'll definitely take a look at what the division odds are. I think they're probably going to win the Central. It's a real good shot, and if there's a little bit of value, I'll probably get down on this. And maybe I'll take a long shot with the World Series as well.
And as a White Sox fan, with your history with the Nationals last year, I am excited that you're thinking about that.
Maybe. I'm gonna look around and see what the numbers are. But I was thinking about it, and maybe I should wait. We'll talk about this at 9 o'clock with Mitch Armantrout. He covers sports betting, or soon to be sports betting, in Illinois. He had an interesting story today in the Sun-Times. Maybe I should wait until there's legal sports books here because they might actually have better numbers and we can actually find offshore. My guess is that those will be up and running in March before the baseball season actually gets going. So that's what I'm debating. I don't know. That would be a long shot, though, Sean. I mean, the Nationals, I loved them going into the season. And if you look at the talent in their rotation in their with their position players compared to the White Sox, they're not on the same level.
No, not
but
at
there's
all.
Potential. There's potential.
Yeah, and right now Bovada does have him listed at 60-1.
60?
To win the World Series.
Yeah. I think there's some value there. I think there is. I want to see what the win totals are. Those usually come out. Well, they keep pushing it a little bit earlier because everybody's looking for some of the attention. It used to be February. I think now they're December, January. Let's see where the White Sox are at.
What's like a key range for non-bettors? If you're looking for a team that can possibly be a back half of the odds to win the World Series, if you're looking at win totals, is it like that 90 to 80 range of wins?
I don't really look at it that way because we see so many times when teams take a 15 to 20 win jump nowadays with everybody doing the rebuild thing. I don't look at the win totals when I look at that. I just look at the team as a whole and would they buy at the trade deadline? Do they have the assets in their minor league system? A lot of different things go into that.
Now, at least the White Sox do have those assets.
Yeah, they do. But like I said, if you can just continue to add in free agency without having to make any trades, then you hold on to those assets. Then if it's time to go, who's making those calls? Like, a lot of people believe that Rick Hahn has been behind this entire rebuild without really knowing the facts. But at the trade deadline, who's calling those shots? Is Ken Williams involved? Because he's going to go get Jake Peavy.
He's got to be involved, though.
I mean, he'll be involved, but does he have final say?
That we have no idea.
Because they will be aggressive if they're in.
Do you think Theo has final say in what the Cubs do?
It's not even.
So then I think Kenny does.
He's got first, second, third, and final say.
I think Kenny does too then.
Yeah. I agree with you, but people don't want to believe that for some reason. 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Another interesting cut of Cole Hamels from the White Sox Talk podcast coming up. And also, you know, the news broke as I was jumping on the air last night with Addison Russell. A couple other things I want to add. And Theo's odd statement that he released to the media, I just really bugged me the more and more I thought about it. That's next. Joe Ostrowski with you. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.